very loose. Okay. Take my pen. That's better. So it's lovely to be here. This is the third venue that we've joined you in, one way or the other. So that's really good. Brilliant. Thank you. You are amazing. And it's just lovely to see some old faces. Leslie and Ken, we knew when we used to live in Leominster 30 years ago. In fact, Jason was still probably about this high. So it's just really good to see the mix, some new faces, some old faces, some faces I've known since they were also that high, not just my own boy. So it has a real family feel to it. And I think that is so important, having the children here. Two of them were Tony and my granddaughters, Jason and Paula's. But also I met Lucy, who's lovely. And I've forgotten the name of the four-year-old, Poppy. She was so good. But in the middle of it all, we can so forget, which is what Jason also said, about their understanding and coming to God like a child. And so I just said to Ellie Mae and Camilla, what's an anchor? Because it was one of the songs we kept singing about, and we forget they don't have this understanding. And Martha was brilliant. She knew what an anchor was, and she explained it brilliantly. It's something that keeps a boat stable when it's in a storm, when it's in a rocky, going through sort of a real storm, going through a sort of real frightening tides and everything else. And I'm just thinking, we so often forget that they sometimes have a different understanding, and we need to help them to grow into that and to help each other. There were some brilliant words that were shared in the middle of that. Tony said, Jason said about what I've been sharing, what I'd shared in Leominster and Hereford a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the river. And then Jason phoned up, I think it's probably about 10 days ago, and he said, oh, we're doing a series on peace. Could one or the other of you do something on peace? And it's like, oh, well, I've got the river. There's a bit of peace in there. I'll do that. And then you start to overthink it. And then I think, I've got to bring a bit more peace in and get rid of bits of the river that I was going to talk about. But it's fine, because we've already had one of the scriptures from Isaiah that was put in there about I am doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing, and it is related to peace. It is related to shalom, and it is related to our relationship with him. But I looked at the word shalom, which you've been studying over the last few weeks on the Sundays, and it's more than just peace. God just doesn't give us a little. He gives an abundance. And so even the word shalom, the peace of God, is an abundance of blessings that you can't really put in our word peace, but the word shalom covers it. It's a wholeness. It's a sense of well-being. It's interest for our welfare. God is interested in every aspect of our lives, not just what we do, but our welfare. How are we? Because he is our anchor. He is our rock. He fills us with his spirit. And it's a complete absence of strife. This morning I got into my car and I noticed, having parked it so that it would make it easier for our neighbours to get in and out because we'd been away, actually someone's reversed into it and just sort of damaged the bumper a little bit. And I have to say, I was a little bit, well, that's not right. I was feeling a little bit of strife in my life from a very simple act, but nevertheless, I was thinking, that's not right, not happy about that. What shalom does, it gets rid of that, I'm not happy, I don't like that strife, and it brings a restitution. It brings a peace. It brings a restoration. So in this word shalom, we have peace. We have restitution. We have wholeness. We have justice. We have well-being. Nothing is missing. And as we were praying for you, Wilkie, I was just thinking, and Jason had started to explain and said, we'd started working up at Barron's Cross and then done some burgers, done some outreach. And it's very easy over the last 18 months or so to say what we've lost, what we haven't done, what we've missed. But God, through his peace, through his shalom, he restores. He doesn't just say, oh, well, don't worry about that. We'll move on. We'll forget it. God does not forget. He might choose not to remember, but he doesn't forget. And sometimes we can feel, oh, we've not had that opportunity, oh, we were doing so well in Barron's Cross, and now look what's happened. But you know what? God is nobody's debtor. Back in Exodus, back in Leviticus, all the laws, everything would be paid back and more. In some cases, they'd get a double portion back. And I believe, Wilkie, for the work that you've been doing, for the work that you've been doing in Leinster, you will be paid back in double. You will get a double portion. Because that's God's shalom. That's God's peace. He gives you an abundance. He gives you a blessing. And I think when we look at the world today, we've got Haiti, we've got COVID, we've just had Afghanistan is completely and utterly gone off again. And it's like there is so much peace that's needed. And if we start to figure it out in our own thinking and in our own minds, and this shouldn't have happened, and all the soldiers that we've lost, all the armed forces, not just with ours, but with other nations, it's like that's just not right. So we have to also, through our shalom, for that peace, trust in God. Trust that he will sort it out. We need to do our bit by prayer. You can't just say, oh, that's fine, you get on with it. We do have a role to play. We pray, we trust God, and we know that he will fulfill his promises. That no word that he has uttered will ever go to waste. Might take a while. You might have promises in your lives that God said things and you've put them away. They will come to fulfillment. You might not see it now, but they will come to pass. Words that have been over Leinster, words over the Shire, over Hereford, over Ross, they will come to pass. And I know you've had words over your lives over the years I've heard them. They're coming to pass. You're doing things now that you probably didn't think you would be. Let's say you preached a couple of weeks ago. Might take a while. You might think you're not ready for it, but believe you me, God will get you ready, because he will give you an abundance of peace and blessing. So how do we get this inner rest, this completeness and wholeness? And there's many people in the world that seek it in different ways. The wrong ways: power, money, relationships, celebrity status. That brings us into social media. Oh, look at me. Doesn't that look wonderful? Totally and utterly nothing underneath it that's true. Just fantasy. Those are not the areas to get you peace. And yet many people look there. So perfect peace comes from trusting God, Isaiah 26 verses 3. But with Jesus we can take it a step further. Because he gave himself. He is our peace. He is our inner peace. And in John 14, 2, verse 27, he makes a clear distinction. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. If we start to think and start to get anxious and start to be afraid, we get robbed of our peace. That's not what God wants. Because if we're trusting in God, even though we might feel a little bit rocky, we have the anchor. Whatever storm comes, we've sung it today, we have him as our anchor. So Jesus has promised he will leave us his peace. I don't know about you, but I believe his promises. And sometimes that's all you've got to hang on into life, but you know what? They are always faithful. They will come to pass. And in John 14, verse 6, he says, and you think, how's Jesus going to give us as his peace? Jesus says, I will ask the Father, our Heavenly Father, and he will give you another comforter that will never leave you. Jesus' intention was not just that the Holy Spirit would comfort us, but it would remind us of what he said. It would give us a fresher revelation in our spirits, in our hearts, of what he has for us, of what God can do, wants to do, of his purposes. So we have the Holy Spirit to help counsel us in truth. It gives us revelation, the truth about God, his love, his blessings, his peace. He's also known as the advocate. He'll go and fight for us. Do you know what? I don't necessarily have to fight. I can fight. But actually, God Will you have the Holy Spirit as our advocate to bring us justice? He helps us to remember. He comforts us. And he'll always be with us as a friend, not a judge, but as a friend. And that's like, wow. When I first became a Christian, I used to think of Pinocchio, and little Jiminy Cricket had this little sort of thing on his shoulder that kept talking into him, saying, oh, such and such and such and such. And yet, a bit like that, that's the Holy Spirit that will remind us, it'll talk to us, it'll comfort us. Okay? Peace, and Jason, I think you mentioned this first thing this morning as well, is also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just he gives us the Holy Spirit, it's one of the things that Jesus and God want to grow in our lives from having the Spirit there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Wow, knowing the love of God, the love of Jesus. That just blows your mind to start off with. And that's just the first one. Joy. Wow. I do think that perhaps over the last 18 months, joy needs to be restored. Just needs to be built back up again, because if we've not been together, it's not been so joyful. The laughter, the giggles, when the girls are together, joy. Peace, that fruit of the Spirit. Patience. And sometimes being patient with ourselves is important. Being patient with God, being patient with others. Gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And self-control. And sometimes we need that self-control in order to find that peace, because we will be here and there and everywhere trying to find the peace for ourselves. And sometimes you just got to be still and know. And that can take self-control. Sometimes I feel like I want to go and do this, and this, and it'll make a difference. Sometimes God just says, you know what? Just be still. Watch me do it. So that's self-control. So as we are filled with the Spirit, the fruits of that grows in us and provides an abundance of the qualities that can help us have that shalom peace, that well-being, that rested, that refreshed state. And the peace of God goes beyond human understanding. If you try to explain it, well, I'm going to trust in God to people that don't know God, it's like, really? Well, why don't you go and do this, that, and the other? No. I'm going to trust in God. It's like, that doesn't make sense. And if you don't know God, it doesn't. But that could be a very area that you might be having strife with, because you don't know God, you don't understand, and you're actually battling with God because he hasn't done things, or you've blamed him for things. And it's like, actually, he will fulfill his promises. So that might be an area of strife in your life that you're just thinking, okay, God, I know, I've got to do that. Okay, so growing those fruits of the Spirit in us. The kingdom of God. God is our king. We're in his kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And it is based on righteousness, right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. Getting rid of all that animosity or feeling of judgment and condemnation, because that's not from God. God loves us. We are his children. He let Jesus die because he loves us. Ken, he loves you. Levi, he loves you. Victor, he loves you. Wilkie, he loves you. He doesn't judge. He doesn't condemn. He just loves. Peace, that shalom. And when we know that love of God, that actually there's nothing in the way because Jesus died to bring us into his relationship, into his very presence. Do you know what? I don't need to worry. I don't need to strive. I know God's principles. I know God's justice, and I know he will prevail. I might not see it like that at times, and I might get frustrated. And again, patience, remind myself of those fruits of the Spirit. But I know that my trust is in God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. In Luke 24, Jesus appeared to the disciples after the crucifixion. And in fact, he'd already appeared to two of them, and then they're all busy having this little natter. Do you know what's happened? I mean, I can almost imagine it. And whilst they were still talking about it, Jesus himself stood among them. Can you imagine that here and now? Jesus just comes in and says, peace be with you. It's like, what? What would our reaction be? But you know, he has, because he's here by his Spirit. Peace be with you. It's quite sort of, wow. But that's what he said. They were startled, frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and feet. It is I, myself. Touch me, see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement. It was like, oh my goodness. Can sort of just I wish I'd been there, but to some extent we can be because of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, then he opened their minds. And the Holy Spirit opens our minds so that we can understand the scripture. And it goes on to say in verse 46, he, Jesus, told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. That promise from God of the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. If you are feeling at strife with God, if you don't have peace with God, just say, God, I'm sorry. Jesus, please take away my sin. I'm just really sorry for having done things my own way. Just restore that relationship. Return to God. So shalom is a blessing of peace, wholeness, restoration, well-being, and offered to everybody, young and old, different nations, doesn't matter from where they're from, it's for everybody. And it's peace beyond understanding. And the Holy Spirit is often sort of symbolized in the Bible as water. And we had Psalm 43, it was up earlier. And in the Living Bible, it puts it down as this. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have everything I need for well-being. I have everything not to be afraid. I have everything not to be anxious. I have everything to accomplish what God has for me. And it goes on to say, he lets me rest. He gives me that shalom, that peace, in the meadow grass. Oh, and leads me beside the quiet streams. Another mention of water there, that tranquility, the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. And after 18 months of COVID, it may be that we just need a bit more strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it goes on to say, he helps me do what honours him the most. Coming here, giving praise, worship and glory to God is honouring him. It's honouring what Jesus has done, serving, not just in here, but telling other people what Wilkie does. That is honouring God because he is so worthy. And verse 4, even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. Not just a bit of a snack on the run. Delicious food, a banquet. You have welcomed me as your guest, somebody special. Blessings overflow, shalom overflows. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. That is such a promise. That is so full of health and well-being and restoration and shalom that God wants for his people to enter in to his presence. And when Jason first asked me about doing this, I said, oh, I can do the river. Then I thought, no, I'm not going to do about the river because I'm going to concentrate on shalom. But actually, after everything that was shared today, I'm back to the river, which is good. because there were various things about water, and I'm thinking, yeah, we're going down the water route. I've cut bits out, but I'll try and remember what to put back in. So I've been looking at Ezekiel 47 lately, and it's like the river. I haven't heard a lot of it preaching it like it seems completely out from a lot of the stuff at the moment, and yet I think for God's people it is so important and so relevant. The river of God. And a lot of what Jason and people have said already today links in so well with it. Getting rid of those weights, getting rid of those things that would hold us down. Jesus is our life jacket. He is all that we need. Okay? So I'm just going to go through Ezekiel 47. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around to the outside, to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling south side. If you have your Bible with you, take it out, Ezekiel 47. Because this is so full of God's goodness for you. His refreshing, his peace. And I think the first thing when we start looking at Ezekiel 47 is, which way are we facing? Are we actually looking east for God's peace? Are we looking for God's new, fresh move of what he's going to do? Or are we actually just looking at what's gone and feeling loss? Or are we looking east, ready for restoration, ready for what God's got, ready for a new day? Have a reset. That came up in part of the prayer today. Maybe we just need a reset. What way am I facing? You might have just been going around in circles. And God just says, do you know what? Just face me. Look expectantly to see what I can and will do. So what way are you facing? Are you standing? Might be that you're just thinking, do you know what, I can't even stand at the moment, let alone which way am I standing to face. That's fine. Do you know what? Shalom, peace, strength, building up. So where are we facing? New starts, new opportunities. And there will be new opportunities for the work that Wilkie does, new opportunities in Hereford, this building is a new opportunity because it's much more open. And as we were singing earlier, and I thought, yes, I'm going back to do the river, it was a case of, I don't care if that door was closed. There is a spirit here, the spirit of God that will flow. And in your very lives, you might think, do you know what, I feel so dry, but there is a spirit that will flow out. It will start. You don't have to do anything. And if you just think of that door closed and yet a whole load of water just seeping out through it, I think that's what God's got for you all. That's what God's got for us. He is waiting for that deluge of water, which at the moment is just seeping, just getting through. We don't have to do anything. And then it starts to get much deeper. So back to Ezekiel. The initial river starts under the threshold. One version does say it just seeps. Just starts as a small trickle. You might not even realise it's happening, but there's a trickle. God's heart and purpose is for us to flow in that spirit. And in verse 3, it goes on to say, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. I think that's about 2/3 of a mile. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not technical. I don't do well on measurements unless it's related to making clothes. And the water that was ankle deep. When we first start walking with God, we sort of go into our ankles and we just start walking. And we walk in God's ways. But miraculously, this little river, this stream, these few drops coming through the door, start to build up. He measured off 1,000 cubits and he led me through water that was knee deep. So it's increasing. And I also see it as people coming together, as you're starting to meet again, as new people are coming in. That river that makes Heart the City of God is coming together and getting deeper. And actually it brings us to our knees. It's not as easy to walk sometimes because God wants to bring his people to a place of strength and purity and integrity. So he brings us to our knees, that prayer that will change situations. And he measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. It's getting even deeper now. I can sort of move through it. I can just about get across. But as it's the river of God, sometimes it's called the river of healing, do I really want to get to the other side, or do I actually just want to soak in it? Do I actually just want to let everything go and just stay there? No life jacket required, because I'm in those arms of God. I can fly. That came up this morning, a lovely picture. I don't need to have anything to hold me down other than an anchor that helps me get my bearings and know that I will be safe. And a river that flows through us and from us, from the heart of God, from his throne, out to the people, out to the towns, out to the villages, out to the nation. Little by little, it grows. Everybody has a place. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. Don't discount yourselves. Don't say, oh, well, I can't do that because I've done this, I've done that. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. Just make that thing right with God today and say, God, I know, but I want that river. I want to be in it. And then it goes on in verse 5. He measured off another 1,000. This is a miraculous river. I think it's probably gone from the centre of Leominster, just out beyond the church, and I'm now just about to get up to here. And it's like, you know what? Oh, I don't have to have anything that holds me down. I don't need to think or worry, what's God going to say? Because he loves me. He might give me a nudge in the right directions occasionally. He needs to. I don't need to worry what's going to happen. I'm retiring soon. Because actually, he's got my destiny. He knew me from the beginning to the end. What's going to happen in COVID? Whatever happens, he's got my back. He's my safety net. I don't need to have a life jacket. So the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. Who would really want to? If you had that river that was flowing from the throne of God, would you really want to just go through it and on the other side? No, I'd like to see where it goes. I'd like to see where God took me. I'd like to see what happened. I'd like to know what fish. And you know, there's fishermen on either side of the river. Some of you here are fishermen. You collect, you catch other people for Jesus, for God. You are a fisherman. And Jesus said to the disciples, come with me, I will make you a fisher of man. Some of you here are fishermen. Ashley. And you might not remember this, and that's partly a joke, but you are a fisherman. And you and I were talking earlier on about sort of some of the stuff you used to do. You are a fisherman, okay? I will remind you. I'll say to Sam, keep reminding him, because actually, you are a fisherman. And I see you sitting there, and I see a rod in your hand, because you just do it. You and Sam, fishermen, okay? Good, amen. So there's a fisherman on the side of this river, and they are catching the fish. Finally, the river is in full flow, and it flows because of God's strength and power. Nothing from us. It's the power and the flow of the Spirit, and to some extent, that is that shalom that has to flow through us, in us, and out to other people. The river of God. And I don't see it as a place of turbulence. I see it as a place of tranquility. You can see some rivers that really cause a lot of problems. But this is a tranquil river. It does have currents and it flows. And it says it flows down to the sea. But wherever it goes, it brings life. And I have to check myself. Do I bring life wherever I go? Does what flows from inside me, does it bring life? blessings or does it bring curses? Is the river of God that flows from our hearts bringing life, which is what it should, by the Spirit, righteousness, peace and joy, so that not only ourselves but the people we're with and the city, the county, the town knows that life seeping out, like the worship from this morning, seeping out into the town. And then the guy that the angel that's with Ezekiel says, son of man, do you see it? Can you actually see it and get hold of it and actually think about it and think, wow, that river of life is in me. That river of life from God flows through each and every one of you here, if you know Jesus. It just flows. You don't have to push it. You don't have to think, oh, what can I do to make this? It just does, because that's God's purposes. And it's by far the safest place to be. Might be a bit scary. No life jackets required. But you know what? That river is actually the perfect place. And you know what's also brilliant that I love about it? Whenever we have the girls together and there's water involved, it's not quiet. Yes, Ash's already laughing at the back. It's not quiet. It's not dry. Not very peaceful, but I tell you what it is. It's fun. It is joyous. Sometimes it's, don't splash too much, and then sometimes it'll be just a frenzy of splashing. There's fun in the river. There's joy. There's good times. Stuff doing together. And as the river is in full flow, just going back to Genesis, there was a spirit, the Spirit of God, hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation. And over that river is that spirit that is hovering, that creative spirit of Father God, of the Holy Spirit, to bring out what God's intentions are, to bring out his purposes in our lives, the creativity, to build into us his strength, his joy, and to help it build for others, that Holy Spirit. And it's like, wow, I want to so let that rip. You imagine that creative power of the Holy Spirit just let rip. Because actually that is God's intention. Imagine that ceiling is just cut and a sort of great big hose, a flood comes through it. We'll rise. We'll be protected. Because God wants it to go out. We don't need to be afraid. Okay. And as it increases, so does the power and the miracles and the strength. So one of the questions is today, how deep are you willing to go? Ankle deep? Okay, I'll walk the walk. It's making my feet clean or not. Or did I just tread on a stone? Bit of uncomfort. But I can cope with that. I can cope with a bit of paddling. Did a little paddling on Bandra Beach. Very still, very calm. That was quite fun. Would you want to go in deeper? Maybe God's bringing you to your knees to just pray and say, God, I need to see a breakthrough in this. Or are you prepared to go up to your waist and just think, yeah, I'm okay here. It's quite nice. Having a bit of fun, a bit of water. Or are you ready to be submersed? Completely in the flow of God's Spirit. It's scary, but it's safe. It's secure. And then in verse 7, it's not just the river, because the angel or whoever's the vision takes Ezekiel back to the bank of the river. And it says, when I arrived, I saw a great number of trees. Wow, it's an oasis. Those streams in the desert from earlier on. You're in a desert, what do you need? Shade, shelter, that's what the stream brings. Trees on either side. He said, the water flows towards the eastern region and goes into the Araba, where it enters the Dead Sea. The salty water becomes fresh, swarms of living creatures, large numbers of fish. Fishermen stand on each side of the shore. There'll be places for spreading the nets. Leinster is a place for spreading the nets. Working into schools, working with children, a place to spread the nets. Working with young children. Any job that you are doing is a place to spread the nets. Where you come into contact with people who might not know that shalom, who might not know Jesus, who might be anxious, afraid, just in despair because they have no anchor in their life. It's a place to do fishing. The swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Sometimes, as much as we might try, God has a plan and a purpose. That's up to him. We have to trust in him. But also, salt is needed. Okay. But the river brings life wherever it goes. And then in verse 12, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month, not every season, every month, they will bear fruit because of the water from the sanctuary flows to them. If there's any areas of your life that have been unproductive or unfruitful, this is a promise for you. Not just in season, but every month, an abundance, a restoration and beyond of what it should be. It's a miraculous fruit. We are born again to bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. But it goes on to say, the fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. That water that flows, that river of God, and the trees that grow on the side that provide shelter will also provide healing for people. People who these days are looking for those answers, who are looking for peace in the wrong areas of their lives because they think that's where they'll find it. The only place for peace is in God's arms. The only place for peace is in that river of God that just brings that refreshing and the safety that you know you're with him. A refreshing that goes right down into your bones, right down into your very being. It brings healing and healing for the nations. I mean, when you just look at the world today, that is so needed. Pray for the people in all the places of influence to have their say, to bring that justice and mercy and love of God to situations. So the river of God, shalom, tranquility, peace for body, soul and spirit. Just think of your most tranquil place, and you know what? The river of God goes beyond that. Nothing to strive for, just being at peace. Now I'm just going to give you time to think about that. What would that mean? What difference would that make in your life? Just having that tranquility. You can float on it because you don't need a life jacket. All the weights, everything that would hinder you and pull you down, just gone. Like having a heavy coat that would just drag you down under the water. Get rid of it. Just take it off. And just float in that place of peace and tranquility. That is the place God wants you to be. So I've just got a few questions. Do you have peace with God today? Have you got peace through God? Have you been baptized in water or the Holy Spirit? Which way are you facing to get that peace? God's offering you refreshment and joy, a fruitful harvest. Peace during frustration. And in Jeremiah 17, verse 8, it says, "For he, for you, each and every one of you here, can be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream going down deep, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit, because it's by a river, and that river brings life wherever it goes." So I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand it back to Jason to do what he wants to. Okay. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, you are a good God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your shalom is so deeply embedded into our spirit, that you just want to bring that peace, that refreshing, that joy, that very life from our inner being that will just spread. It will trickle, it will just start to flow. But that, Father, you are bringing a deluge. You are bringing a flood of your river that will touch people, that will touch towns and villages and cities. And Father, we just thank you, God, because that is your purpose through us. Thank you that, Father, you let Jesus die so that we could have that very peace with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.